Manu asked us to start rotating the chairs between Dan, Matt, and me, Richard Varn, who's speaking right now. And Dan and Matt asked me to start today. So we'll get going on the call. We have the agenda was sent out a little late because we're still transitioning from Manu sending it out and having us send it out. So sorry for the delay. There's really one primary discussion today, which is what's being highlighted there in the what Matt's putting in, is that we need to link to real-world use cases. And this is primarily coming both from our W3C staff person who's trying to help us navigate these issues, and his recommendation is that we try to firm up our real-world cases as to why we think the current solutions do not address the problem, address the issues we face in our different sectors or industries or within our own company. So with that, Manu had suggested and copied on the last go-round of the response that he sent out some people who in the past have identified their own company, their own interests as having a very specific use case. Now, in the past, we were asked to remove a lot of that detail for fear of drowning the people that had to read all this. Now we're being asked to put it back in. And yeah, that feels a little yo-yo-y, but it's the way it is at the moment. So we're trying to address it. So, and whoever 703 is, would you self-identify, please? Can you up here on the IRC chat? If not, speak up. Okay. So with that, are any of the folks that Manu specifically asked to address their use cases, who is on the call and who is willing to speak up to say whether or not they're able to provide that data to the group? And whoever is doing a great job scribing, can you mute while you're typing, because we can all hear you. Is that Dave?
Yeah, this is going to be confusing. Sorry.
That's okay.
And by the way, I think we're still missing. Who called in from area code 703, please?
Katie.
I present plus myself, I think. If I didn't, I will right now. Katie Harita Shea.
Okay, thank you.
So is the silence because none of the people that Manu asked? Good.
Is there anyone on? This is Stone. I didn't put myself on the queue. Sorry. Is anyone on the call that worked through the process of, you know, the original use cases that had quite a bit of detail that were? When we originally did it, we kind of obfuscated names in some regard so that we had Book Co. instead of actually the name of the book company. And then we sort of scrubbed back to more abstract versions, like Richard said. Who in the call here was part of that process? And is it straightforward enough for us to just kind of go resurrect the use cases in the Open Creds document and bring it back into or link it appropriately into the charter?
Let's go to Drummond. He's on the queue next. He might have an answer for his perspective from Everham.
I wasn't part of that work, so I can't speak anything to that particular question. It sounds like a good idea to me. I just wanted to volunteer that I think the Everham product team could produce some information about our use cases, if that's helpful. I just sort of want to know in what form should we produce it and where does it need to go.
I think the form can be any set of documents you want to produce. Narrative is what we've had in the past that describes the problem. If you want to put any graphics in there to illustrate it, that's fine. And the where, would be to send it to the three prospective co-chairs, Dan Burnett, Matt Stone, and Richard Varn, and copy Manu. You could also just send it to the group list if you have access to that. We'll all get it.
Yeah, I think the way we did it, Drummond, this is Stone.
Publishing it, yeah. Yeah, good.
In the original kind of exercise, we had a running Google Doc that that we could edit and kind of collaborate on. And then I think Shane and others went through the effort of turning that into the respec doc. So that would be a way for us to start. Maybe if you have access to Google Drive, set up a doc and share it with us.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a simple way to do it. I like that process because you can produce one overall deliverable.
Yeah.
Okay. And when is this needed by so I can clarify for them?
I think there's a bit of a sense of urgency here. Is Phil on the line by chance from W3C? I don't think so. I didn't hear
him. He's not in IRC.
Yeah. So, you know, the schedule that we were loosely on, according to last week, is to call a vote about the AC end of November, kind of early December kind of timeframe. And this is in response to some feedback that we've had over the last couple of weeks. So we don't want to let it sit for very long. No, I would shoot for, you know, what's reasonable, a week. Can we do it by end of week? This time next week when we have our next week's meeting and maybe review some more explicit use cases and sort of an explicit application of the abstract use cases that we've already defined.
That's certainly fine with me. That sounds like a reasonable period. And are we going to try again to, you know, we could create a Google Doc or we could share a Google Doc and folks could all contribute. Anyone else is going to do that could contribute. What do you recommend?
I think one doc would be easier for us to all manage and work on together.
Perfect. Do you want to assign someone to create and coordinate that?
Any volunteers?
This is Drummond. The only reason I'm not volunteering is I do have a major deadline in that precise next week, so that's why I'm trying to hand this off to others on the Evernote product team. But if someone will volunteer to create that doc and propagate it, then I will commit them to contributing use cases to it.
If someone can do it quickly, all you need to do is make a document and share it with us. I wasn't able to share my presentation for the IIW publicly, and I think this needs to be publicly shared. And so I need to go figure out what's going on inside kind of the Pearson world that's preventing me from making documents that are created in that domain public documents. Is there someone else that might be able to do that for us?
I'm trying to just quickly throw together a Google Doc that is public for you guys right now.
Thank you. After the doc's created, I think your responsibility ends, other than as a contributor and collaborator to the content.
So okay, I think Adrian is next on the queue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so I guess it's Adrian. I guess it's appropriate for me to put the physician credentials use case in this document, the thing I presented at the face-to-face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be fine. I think one the nature of the feedback that we got was to try to show how the in an explicit way how the absence of a standard is blocking us from interoperating today. So I think we want to focus this next deliverable on use cases that are sort of pressing and current rather than sort of blue sky what could be. Not that yours is like that, Adrian. I'm just trying to sort of help the group frame the kind of content that we need this week.
So if it's worth belaboring this for a minute, just because you raised that issue, right now, in order to sign a prescription for a controlled substance, the doctor has to have a separate FOB or authenticator for each practice that he or she works in. So if they happen to work in three different places during the week, they might need three different FOBs. And so that is a current problem. Is that the kind of thing we could say verifiable claims will impact directly, standards-wise?
I like that.
I can tell you the reason.
Yeah, go ahead.
The reason is that the way the DEA audits what's happening is at the institutional level. If that helps to clarify what's going on. So it's an institutional responsibility to basically credential and issue that that FOB. There is no standard for using it in a self-sovereign way, for example, by the physician.
Although the physician has their own DEA number and is sort of individually credentialed in order to write the scripts, right?
Right, yes, the DEA number is the same, exactly.
Okay, I think that's that sounds like a good example. We've got medicine.
We have someone else on the queue, I think.
Sorry, it's me. This is actually a point of order. Because there is no RRS agent here, is there a, I'm not used to minuting in this. Is there a bot to make minutes? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, we're covered. You don't need to worry about that. We've got a tool that will convert the log to minutes.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I wasn't going into dev null. Thanks.
All right. Drummond, you're up.
Drummond, you may be muted.
Sorry about that. Yes, I was muted. Our KYC use cases, know your customer use cases, and financial services, something that you have just talked over to depth, or is that you know, because that's what you know, Evernim is finding very strong interest in.
Was on the wish list. That's on the wish list from both our W3C staff person and who mentioned it. I think it should be on there. Unless someone objects, I think we should have one. This is Richard.
We should definitely. This is Dave Longley. We definitely want to have that use case in there. I think a lot of this also has to do with being able to adequately respond to feedback from AC reps and for example, from Microsoft and Google. And they've been at some of their concerns were, what are the real world use cases? You know, where are people really hurting where this VC TF work could actually help them? And we had some really great feedback on, let me grab a link to this. That is the public web payments comments mailing list for November. And in particular, we had really great feedback from Nate with respect to how this work would affect Badge Alliance and related organizations. And so getting that sort of feedback and getting real-world use cases from people would be extremely helpful to W3C staff and responding to people who have concerns about the work moving forward.
Excellent. Well, I know we're steeped in those, so happy to do that. Another one I was going to ask about is travel. Have you been over those? Do you want travel-based use cases? The classic situations of, everything you need, when you're traveling, whether it's, passport-related information but all kinds of traveler information, immunization, emergency contact information, we've also seen those, very strong demand for those.
Yeah, I think it's important to capture all that, but I think what is most convincing is hearing from companies that are trying to do something and they're having a difficult time doing it, and if this work were to proceed, it would help them in some way. So that is the most important thing to send in. So if you're strapped for time, that's what they want to see the most.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Richard, I think Manu called out both Pearson and here, I'm going to put myself on the queue. And Pearson and ETS as players in the education space that should have examples where the spec or standard would facilitate our existing business. Is that something you and I can work on together to come up with a case that has sort of our, I think a credit trust has done it, Nate has done it with Badge Alliance. If we can have Pearson ETS come in and say, here's our, the thing that's blocking us today. And that seems like the focus that we want to bring to the table is what's the blocker that the absence of a standard is going to speak to. Then that sort of gives the credibility that the group needs.
I think I'm next in the queue. So my answer to that is yes for the specific education case. One of the ones I'm not quite sure we've covered, and I'd like to hear at least some comment on this, is one of the reasons that I will put in our education case is we do not want to have people forced to use a particular vendor and have lock-in on their identity broker, their identity provider, or their management of these kind of credentials and claims linked to a specific business model that's tied to content brokering or whatever. So that is one of our concerns that we have. It's also a generic concern we've put in to our business case or discussions in the past. And is that something we have adequately covered in our current case description that we're all struggling with that? Or do we need to highlight it specifically in each case that's relevant? Thoughts?
I think that's a useful lens to put on the education use cases, given that students participating in sort of a lifelong learning journey from early education, K-12, post-secondary to professional, and in every one of those segments, there are kind of major players and minor players. And this standard is about enabling a flow of content for the learner to manage and maintain as they kind of move between those providers. And finance might have a similar kind of use case. You have lots of banks that you do business with and stores that you want to validate like your age with, but we sort of put our hat on of the end user. Education has a pretty compelling kind of journey that we can describe.
Dave, I think you're next.
Right. I think another thing that would be really important to mention would be that this work would help create a interoperable way of expressing this information and verifying this information so that people can carry these things along with them and move throughout different systems. Mm-hmm. And right now, if you want to get any sort of this information in digital form, if you're able to even do that, you're kind of locked into one system or another, and you can't go out and use it as you want to and carry it with you throughout your life. And I think people making the point that this work in particular would really help as a first step toward being able to do that would be very helpful, because it differentiates this work from previous work.
Okay, Adrian?
I think healthcare and education, the comment I was just made about education, are examples where, because the parties are very diverse, you know, they could be a single person clinic somewhere off in the Bronx or, you know, the VA hospital, in any situation where the parties are very diverse, as in education or healthcare, federation has failed. At least in healthcare it has. It's been impossible to get useful interoperable federations going because of this. And I don't know exactly how to make this point, but I see verifiable claims as being an alternative or a very useful thing in cases where federations have not taken hold.
Very good. So, to the group, or Stone speaking here again, if we have this, is the Google Doc created yet?
Yes, there's a link. Right,
sorry.
There's a link a little bit further.
In the RC for that? There we go.
I put the link back in RC as well.
Excellent. Is it enough to have sort of one explicit case in education, healthcare, and KYC as the as kind of the seed for these use cases that prove the need? I want to be a little pragmatic and not go try to write a book. We want to give a reasonable response to the AC issues that were brought up, but also respect the time that we all, you know, have 20 other things to do this week.
Drummond?
I was going to ask a similar question. I strongly agree. I've been through many use case exercises, and this one is not one. It sounds like it's mostly one of finding the most compelling set of use cases that can answer this question for those that have raised it, in which case I just want to make sure we're just, you know, we're not, like, just trying to come up with an encyclopedia of things. And my second one is, there's, you know, there are dozens of ways of presenting use cases. If someone wants to, you know, put in or start to see the document with the format in which they're recommending, I can point the Evernim product team and just say, guys, can you go get our the use cases that we can contribute most productively into it in that format?
Okay, David Azell.
A lot of buttons to push before I hit the mute button. I just wanted to say I am working on getting a merchant use case. I don't know that I can do it by Friday. I have sent a note to the director of Connexus, who is there. Merchant use cases are not exactly the same as payment use cases, although they are somewhat the same. So you can put me down for merchant at least this week. I'll do my best.
Whoops, sorry. The queue is empty. Okay, Matt.
So Drummond asked if we have a template, or maybe we can sort of make one on the fly. Can we steal from the existing use case docs? And you know, there's a template that the AC might recognize. We'll take those, and instead of being kind of abstract and hand waving, we'll just go into the detail with company name X, Y, and Z wants to do this.
Drummond, that sounds perfect to me. Especially if it's already there, it's just give us the template, and then we can all follow it.
After the call, I will take one of these and from the Open Creds doc, and let's link here. Did I drop the? I'm also putting the link to the Open Creds org use cases, which has some more explicit examples in there. You may just read through these and go pull from content we've already created. I'll take that action item after the call today and move it over to the Google Doc.
Sounds good.
And the work that we did last summer on this topic is actually pretty good. Not surprising. I mean, we've all been working on this for a long time. So I hate to go reinvent the wheel here.
Yeah, I feel like what the most important thing to do is to get companies saying, yes, our company is affected by these use cases, which we might already have in the document. And VCTF will definitely help us move forward in either explicitly in these ways or just generally. If this work is out there, it'll help us with this use case, and this use case affects us. And this work in particular will help us where other work that has already been out there, we've either not been able to figure out how to make it work for us or it doesn't work for us. And I think those are the things that are the most convincing.
Okay, Matt.
That sort of begs the question then, as to how we actually respond. Is it as simple as, you know, for those of us who represent, specific organizations, to respond to the AC note saying, if you notice use case in the Open Creds document 4.1.1, this is a problem for us, and we're looking, and we expect this to be solved, or at least the beginning of it to be addressed with the working group charter. And put a link to that use case in our notes.
My view on that is if we've already got the stuff down in a use cases document and we can link to it, there's no sense in repeating it, and I think that's a good statement. I do think that if everybody has not read Nate's email, I'll put another link in there again. This email that Nate wrote was very convincing to the Microsoft and or Google reps, telling them effectively information that they were largely unaware of what was going on with Badge Alliance and how this work helps them. And so being made aware of that is very helpful in convincing them that the work is very, very important to move forward. And so if we kind of say, we've got this set of use cases, and I'm from such and such company, this use case is important to us, and this work will help us in solve this use case, whereas other work has not, I think that is a very strong statement. I don't have Phil Archer's email. I wasn't CC'd on that, so I don't know exactly what he was asking for, so that's up to the chairs to respond to. But just from a perspective of convincing for example, AC reps from Microsoft or other people, that they have already responded to Nate's email and said, oh, this is very convincing to me. So similar statements to his email from other people in other industries or also in the education industry, that's also fine, are the kinds of materials that we want to gather and present.
Let's see. I'll put a link to Nate's response so everybody can see it. So this is a perhaps a template for those of us to respond directly in the email thread.
It's probably better not to respond to that one, but to use it as a template for your own email.
Yeah.
This was Dan Burnett speaking. Sorry, David. David, go ahead.
Here at a break in the action. Some people may have seen, I don't know which threads are visible to what people, but Mike Champion actually mentioned to me in a thread about what I had explained to him. Dave Longley specifically, do you recall that statement?
I do. I'm looking for it right now.
Okay, because I actually just called Mike and talked to him for about an hour, and I'm not a security expert. I don't know any of the things you guys know, but representing a merchant organization and also co-chairing the Web Payments IG, it just feels as though I'm in a swarm of requirements that a lot of which could be satisfied here. And I gave Mike a couple of concrete examples that were not based upon any sort of expertise. They were based upon a feeling. And I think I really do believe that's what the AC reps want. They want to hear the basic requirements. They want to know why SAML didn't work and or why SAML is an 80% solution and how verifiable claims could provide the other 20% that's required. And I think there will be some of that. And it actually reassures them to know that we are, as a group, because I'm not an expert, but as a group we are experts in all of these technologies, so we do know what we're talking about.
So Matt, back to you.
I'm sort of thinking about a time check here. Or Richard, do you want to jump in?
I was just gonna reinforce what was just said. I think those kind of practical responses, they don't have to be always extremely technical. The technical folks can weigh in and say, well, I think you could handle this with other technologies. That's certainly what they can respond with. That's great, good to know. But I think the problem still remains that there is no overall header that says what you're about to read is a claim and here's how it's organized. There's a lot of technologies that can do that, can consume them, can label them, can organize them, we haven't decided on one way to present it and link it to these other components. And I thought that was the primary focus of this set of activities, is that we needed a way of expressing it so that it could be machine interpretable and understandable and can be common across multiple sectors. So when we say that in our context, because that's what I'm going to try to emphasize, is to be able to say that in a context so that when we, and Matt and I, are outputting assessments and we're two competitors in the assessment business, we still want our common customers to be able to express their claims about what they got on their tests the same way, so that every HR system out there, every education system, admission systems, no matter what, can understand that that's the data packet they're about to receive, be able to verify it in a common and understandable way, even if it uses multiple different ways of identity management to do it. So that's kind of, and I think retail has the same, and payments have the same set of concerns. So that's kind of the way I'm going to frame my, you know, discussion with Matt on what we're going to say. So if that reinforces what you just said, that was my attempt.
Okay, Matt?
To add to what Richard said, I think the maybe essential ingredient that we're adding to the solution space is you're giving the control to the individual earner and sort of recognizing that this sort of federated approach has not worked in the marketplace. So we're getting kind of two things. One is how to express the claim in a common and uniform way that many vendors can participate in, and also do it in a way where the earner can walk away with it and have control over it.
David?
Sorry, that takes so long. Just a quick, sort of analogy. If the other place that non-federated didn't work was in the standing up of web servers, the whole architecture of the web is that pretty much anybody can stand up a web server. And no matter who you are, you can actually do things with that web server. So if the situation were that everything had to be federated, it would be like saying only three or four companies can actually stand up web servers, and you need to call them if you want to do that. It's a very anti-web point of view when you put it that way. Mm-hmm. I think this is a plus one to non-federated.
So are we clear enough in this assignment that we can call this agenda item done for now? We're going to contribute to the Google Doc. We have at least four people willing to write some things down and submit them that we've identified on this call. It sounds like Matt and Dan and I have a responsibility to kind of circulate the feedback we got, because it wasn't copied to everyone that we got from our W3C person. Is there anything else that was a to-do off of this discussion that we didn't do? So with that, are there any other agenda items or other things for the good of the order today to cover? If not, we can wrap.
And before we wrap up, can we quickly say what's going to happen the next 3 days or 5 days? Redeclare what our actions are.
Okay. I'll take my run at it. I think what we're going to have at least four people submit sections to the web document, to the Google document, to fill out their concrete reasons why they, as a company or group of companies, are challenged by the current set of solutions and what we specifically seek to achieve from the verifiable claims work. check, and that will hopefully happen by 2 or 3 days from now. We'll encourage people to look at those and comment on them or suggest edits or any additions or changes to them. And then if we, by our next call, if we're happy with what we've created and we have a finalization of it, we will then submit those or make them more officially publicly available as our final product for additional support for what goes into the vote packet or what gets publicized to the AC people. That's what I think. And then we'll look, the second small action item is to find grab the email and circulate it to the group about what our comments have been so far, if they haven't been sent already.
Which email is that? I'm sorry. Describe.
It's from Mr. Archer. His comments back to us about what he was expecting us to produce. I think that was what was requested. Phil, I just thought of his first name. Phil Archer, isn't that right?
That's right.
I think I volunteered, although I was very wishy-washy about it.
Who is that speaking? I don't recognize all the voices yet.
Oh, you see how it feels? This is David.
Oh, that was David. All right.
I've gotten all of these names wrong. I hope somebody will fix them.
So is that a sufficient restatement and it's been captured in the notes?
Works for me. Thank you, Richard.
Great. Any other items for today? Okay. With that, we'll meet in a week to review the additional use case information. We're going to rotate the chairing of this. So between Matt and Dan, one of them will take the next one, make sure the agenda gets out. We'll try to follow Manu's approach of sending it out at least the day before. So we have that ready for the next day as a reminder. never insult the scribe is a good point. And we will get our organizational logistics a little better organized for next time. So who's up for scribing next time so they're warned now?
Brian Sletten is next on the list.
Okay. All right. So anything else for today?
David's asking when's the next meeting. I presume next week.
Oh, when's the next meeting? It'd be a week from today at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. That'd be the 15th. Next Tuesday. Yeah, the 15th.
The standing meetings will continue on schedule the way they have for the last couple of years. We'll use this time block if that's all right with everyone.
Yeah, I hate to find a new spot on everybody's calendar. It usually takes 3 meetings just to do that, so I hope we can keep this one.
One thing we'll have to talk about next week is whether we meet Thanksgiving week or not. I'm sure a lot of people will be vacationing on that Tuesday.
I'm going to suggest that we decide right now that we will not meet Thanksgiving week, because people will not be around. Can we put that in the notes in the minutes? They have to say, we will not meet Tuesday of Thanksgiving week.
Right, that's 2 weeks from today.
Yeah, we won't meet in 2 weeks. Right, so we won't meet the 15th, but not the 22nd. Okay.
Well, very good.
Thanks, everybody. We will talk to you in a week. All right, take care.
See y'all.
Thanks.
Thank you, folks.
So, Dave Longley, he's still on.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I can get in touch with Dave if you want.
It's okay. I was just going to make sure that Dave could make sure the notes get saved, and that there's something that Manu does afterwards where he drops people off the conference. So we don't have Manu to do that today. I just want to make sure that that gets done.
Okay, I'll remind him.
And who is this speaking?
This is Adam Lake. I work with Digital Bazaar.
Ah, okay, all right. Sorry, I don't recognize your voice yet.
No problem. I haven't really spoken up much, so. But, yeah, so
okay,
log the minutes and drop people off the conference. Is that what you're saying, basically?
Yes, exactly. It looks like Dave has just responded to David Ezell just now. Yeah, so let me just type that also, but if you could just check up with him, that would be good.
Sure. Okay. And I'm sorry, your name again?
Dan Burnett.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, one of the three chairs. Unfortunately, I missed the California meeting in a week ago because I was in China.
Gotcha.
And that's so I'm still catching up because all this great discussion happened and I missed it. So
yeah, no sweat. All right, well, have a good one. Thanks.
All right, thanks.